Okay, about a year ago, I sat in a Din Torah, which was basically a employer-employee dispute. But one of the issues that came out in the course of the proceedings was that the Toveya had the following claim against the Nitba. The Toveya was a former employer who was laid, employee who was laid off, and he claimed that he had a personal smartphone or something of the sort, and he used that device both for personal matters and for business matters. And then he had business data that he had access to through his smartphone. And upon termination of his employment, the employer wiped all the data from his phone, including personal data that had to do with another personal business that he had that had nothing to do with the employer who had fired him. He claimed that the wiping of that data caused him certain financial loss and unrealized profits, and he was to pay something from his former employer on that basis. So that raises a question as to how do we deal with digital nezek, which is a relatively recent phenomena. What does halacha have to say if a person infects someone else's data, with the viruses, a person destroys someone else's data through digital means? How does halacha view that in terms of chiyuvei nezek? So we'll just lay out certain basic parameters without necessarily coming to definitive conclusions, as these are things that are kind of still under discussion among people who discuss such matters. So are these considered forms of hezek? What kind of hezek are they? What category do they fit into? We'll talk about whether it's direct or indirect. If it's indirect, is it grum? Is it garmi? Is it hezek shen or nicker? So we'll talk about all of these things. There's a journal that comes out once a year, which is a summary of the proceedings of Rabbi Ratzon Arusi's Dayanim conference, which happens basically annually in Eretz Yisrael. That was a conference I went to last year. The chief rabbi of Kiryat Ona, who gathers together many Dayanim for an annual conference, and they put out a volume of the proceedings of that conference called Shari Tzedek. So in the third volume of Shari Tzedek, there's an article written by Shlomo Duchovsky, Dayan Emeritus on the Beit Din HaGadol of the Rabbanut, in which he, the basic article is Internet B'Halacha. So one of the topics that he discusses is what is the halachic status of hezek caused by someone infecting another's computer with a virus. So the first question he raises, is that considered, so assuming it's a hezek, it is a hezek of some sort, is that Eish, is that other mamazik? So his muskal rishon is that it should be analogous to Eish. Just like Eish is, what are the qualities of Eish? Ki seitzei Eish umatza kotzim, that Eish starts in your property and then goes and damages someone else's property. So the virus starts in your computer and then goes and damages someone else's computer. And it operates through koach achar meurbo, that it doesn't cause a damage on its own. It needs a facilitator. Just like when you light a fire, it's not going to damage someone else's property unless there's wind, unless there's some other external facilitator that moves the Eish along. So too, if you infect someone else's computer with a virus, there's a koach achar meurbo, however that moves in digital space, is a koach achar. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan here, on the second page, Simen Tav Yud Ches Sif Beis. So this is just the basic formulation of what's unique about Eish. Nezek Eish Eino Doma L'Chol Nizakin is unique. Sha'adam O'Behema Osem Es Nezek B'Fal Mamish. Normal Hezek is affected totally by the perpetrator of the Hezek. Kamo Karen V'Shein V'Regel Abor. Sha'abor Sha'chaver Adam Nafal Ashor. Avala Eish Sarif Me'atzmo. When you light a fire, so the damage doesn't take place at the very point where you lit the fire. The fire moves on its own. The wind moves it. That's what we call koach achar meurbo, that there's an external force that moves along the object that is creating the hezek. Okay. And then he entertains, maybe it's really considered adam amazik. Essentially, the person is the one who is causing the damage. What difference does it make if it's Eish or adam amazik? So The biggest difference is that when it comes to other mamask, you're chai for chamisha dvarim. You're chai nesek tarbi per shevet boshes. Excuse me, so in theory you'd be chai not only for the actual damage caused by the virus, but for other ancillary damages. For if the computer is out of commission and you lose money because of the fact that you don't have access to that device, so then if it's other mamazik, you'd be chai for that as well. If it's aish, so you'd only be chai for the actual nezek itself. So that's what Rav Shlomo Zelchowski raises. Is it aish? Is it mamad mamazik? Rashi Weiss has a brief tshuva about digital hezek in Chelek Beis Minchas Asher Simin, I think it's Kuf Yud Ches, Chelek Beis Simin Kuf Yud Ches. He assumes as a davar pashut that is considered Adam Hamazik. Fine. So there is some kind of a hezek going on, whether we call it Eish, whether we call it Adam Hamazik. So is that direct hezek, is that indirect hezek? So we know in Halacha that Grama Binizak and Pater, we assume that as far as Chiyuve Adam, if you cause a hezek indirectly, that's Grama, and then there may be a Chiyuve Shemayim, but Bidei Adam Pater, Bezin can be Mechayiv someone for Grama. Garmi, that's the machlokas tanaim, as you know, Remeir don dina de garmi. So we paskin that we are mechayiv dina de garmi. What is garmi? So that's a major machlokas rishonim. Garmi is somewhere between direct hezek and grama. So it's not totally indirect, it's not totally direct. Where does garmi fall? Machlokas rishonim. So for our purposes, let's take a look at the Rush in Bava Basra. The Rush writes this in a few places, but we have here on the first page of the Marmar Kamas, Bava Basra. Daf Yomi just got there a few days ago. Bava Basra on the second parak, Simin Yud Zayin. So the Rush has two formulations as to how to define something as Garmi. So if you take a look, about halfway down, there's a parenthetical reference to Gemara Daf Samach, Konis, and Bava Kama. So over there, the Rush writes on that line, V'yesh L'chalik. So beforehand, he outlined certain cases that are chayim midina de garmi, certain cases that are grama. So how do you distinguish between grama and garmi? So the Rush writes, the kol hecha dehu ba'atmo osa hezek l'mam chaver, where a person affects the hezek on his own. Ubari hezeka, and the hezek is clear. Mikri dina de garmi v'chayiv. So that's called garmi, where the person affects the hezek on his own, and it's bari hezeka, there's a clear hezek. That's called garmi. So, for example, sarif shtar o mochel hu ba'atma mazik l'mam chavero. So the din is sarif shtarosa shachavero. Someone has a document that entitles him to collect funds, and you burn that document. So you only burned a piece of paper that's worth maybe a penny, but in burning that document, you've now caused him a tremendous financial loss because he can no longer collect the debt that's owed to him. So that's called garmi. You show a dinar to the money exchanger, and there is value that is depreciated based on that presentation. Meaning the shalchani represents that the coin is worth something, which is not. So in these cases, these are all bar yezeka. Came in the mar mamon yisrael avikachavim anas baruhu sheilenu avikachavim, where you show money belonging to a Jew to a guy, you know that the guy is going to take the money. So anytime that you do an action and that action results in a certain inevitability or a certain clear connection between your action and the hezek that's caused, that would be considered garmi. And then he has a different formulation a little bit further down, about six or seven lines to the bottom, in the middle of the line. So there's a difference, for example, between a person who is no sein sam hamavis lifnei behemas chaveiro. A person places poison in front of an animal, and a person feeds the animal poison. So if a person feeds the animal poison, that's considered direct damage. If he puts it in front of the animal, that's considered grama, not garmi. So the Rush there writes, and in that case, nosin sam amaves lifnei behemes chaver, ein machila, you're not actually feeding it. Fine. Vod yesh l'chalik. The kol hecha, the hezek nasa miyad b'shas maisa, so where the hezek is done immediately, where there's no time delay, nikra dina de garmi. Kamo, sorev shtar, so you burn the shtar, when you burn the IOU, so then he's immediately not able to collect. Or mochel shavasa shachadera. Someone, your mochel ishtar, so the person who bought that shtar that entitled to certain funds can no longer collect the money because the debt was nimchal. So in these cases, there's no time delay, there's an immediate effect, and that is considered garmi. So according to the Rush, either if there is an immediate effect without a time delay, or if there is what's called bari hazeka through the maisa of an adam, that is garmi and not grama. I'm sorry?
The IOU is burnt.
Right.
To the loan. And they could come to Bezin.
So if they're aided that could testify, then there probably wouldn't be any hazak that's created through Sarishavera. So the case of Sarishavera is where you won't be able to collect the loan because you burned the shtar. Okay, so how is this relevant to our question of, let's say, infecting someone else's computer with a virus? So Rabbi Avram Union, the Menahel of the RCC in Los Angeles, the Rabbinical Council of California, a colleague of mine, has an article in that same version, same edition of the Shaare Tzedek, in which he initially, or he suggests, that maybe there's a distinction between where the virus automatically infects the recipient of the virus without any action on the part of the recipient, and a case where the recipient is the one who opens the file. So if he opens the file himself, so then maybe the action of the original party is only a grumma. Why? Because the mavic didn't actually do anything directly to infect the other person's computer. The other person opened the file himself, and that's what allowed the virus to take over the computer. And maybe it's not bari hazeka because the guy has to download in order to be affected by the virus. And there's a time delay. So maybe in the case where it's not going to happen automatically, you have to open the file, maybe that's considered grumma and not garmi. Now, in our data wiping case, that would be worse, even if you accept this distinction. So where you proactively wipe the other guy's data, so then he hasn't done anything, you've done it all immediately, effectively, and without any action on the part of the damaged party. Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yaakov, one of the senior Dayanim now in the Tel Aviv Beis Din, another Rav that I'm in pretty frequent contact with. So he has a tshuva on this topic in the latest volume of Mishpatech LeYaakov, Tshuvas Mishpatech LeYaakov Chelek Tes. So you wonder how people have time to write so many volumes of tshuvas. So I visited the Tel Aviv Beis Din last year, and Evan goes home at 1:30 in the afternoon. So that's the day's over at 1:30. So plenty of time to write. So he has a tshuva about digital hazak infecting files with viruses, and he says no. That it's true that you could have a hechatimsa where the guy is not going to open the file, but the norm is that if a person is sent an email, you're going to open the attachment. It's not considered das acheres. It's not considered koach acham urbo. Bariyazeka, because the norm is that if you receive an attachment, you're going to open the attachment. So I'm not sure if that's so compelling either. I think at least most of us are more cautious about that. We know that attachments could have viruses. And we don't automatically open attachments, especially if they look suspicious. So, I don't know. He thinks that's considered the norm. If it's the normal way of operating, so it's true that you don't have to open the file, but if the norm is that you would open the file, so that's considered bari hazeka. He says, as opposed to nosing samavis b'fnei behemas chavero, if you put the poison in front of the animal, so the animal may eat it, may not eat it. Animals don't eat everything you put in front of them. But people open all attachments? I'm not sure. Okay. Rav Asher writes in that tshuva, Chelek Beis Min Chasasher Kuf Yuches, that no, it's not grum, it's not garmi. This is direct hezek. This is how people are masik nowadays. It's not, this is the normal way of affecting this kind of a hezek. If it's the normal way of affecting this kind of a hezek, so that's considered mazik biadayim.
I mean, isn't that the classic case of Aish?
Right.
Is where you're doing it in your property.
Right.
right? And it happens, you're not shomer, right? You happen to go over here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, in the case of Asia, you burn someone's property,
right.
that's other mazik. So here, too, you get to that.
So you're saying that's the normal way of doing it?
Of doing it. The way to burn his property is
right.
to buy your computer to get
right.
the there.
Yep, okay, that could be. That's it's other mazik, that's mazik mamish. Right. Rabbi Ben Yaakov raises another issue that even if you wanted to argue that it's, not technically garmi, even if you wanted to argue as far as how it operates that it's grama, not garmi, but maybe there are other grounds to be mechayev al pidina de garmi anyway. There's a famous position of the Ritzbah among the Bali Tosos, which is quoted in Tosos in Bava Basra, Daf Kaf Beis Amud Beis. Tosas Bava Basra Kaf Beis Amud Beis Dibur Maskel Zosa Meres. The bottom Tosas Kaf Beis Amud Beis of the Ritzbah has the following position that Garmi is relevant beyond the specific criterion that are outlined. So if you look three lines on the bottom of Tosas near the Ritzbah, the Dina de Garmi Havi Mitam Knas. That Garmi in essence is a kind of Knas. Kinemucha B'Yerushalmi. So, Garmi, the way various cases in the Gemara are described, are simply manifestations of a general principle that Chazal have the ability to constant someone, even if something doesn't fit into a classic category of Hezek. So if you have a type of Hezek which doesn't fit into a classic category, but it's a Hezek that's Matzli, Viragil, so then Chazal have the ability to constant. The time to come is to lo yehekol echad holik umazik l'chaveiro. The end. So we don't want a situation in which people are going to go and be mazik via dayim and pater themselves because it doesn't technically fit into any of the known categories of hezek. So garmi gives a certain license to kansin, even if something doesn't fit into a standard type of nezek. So that could be relevant to this kind of situation as well. That you have something which is a kind of nezek that anyone nowadays would identify as being malicious, as being damaging, as causing a loss, even if it doesn't fit into a standard category. So maybe you have the license to be mechayev of a person based on the Ritzbah's definition of garmi. Do we assume like the Ritzbah lalacha? So the Rama says yes. The Rama in Chosha Mishpat Simin Shin Pei Vav Seif Gimel. Quotes the Ritzbah lehalacha, but if you look in the Shach in Sif Katan Kaftal, the Shach takes issue. So that's an open question to some extent. Lemaisa, how we invoke the Ritzbah, if at all? The Ramah quotes it is Yeshomrim the Bechol Grama Benizaki they move Davar Shkiach V'Ragel Chayi V'Shali Mishavknat. So even if it's only a Grama, nevertheless. A grama that is shiach, it could be mechayim midin knas. So that's an open question, whether to what extent we rely on the Ritzbah. More likely as a sniff, if there are other grounds to be mechayim, so you can throw the Ritzbah in as a sniff, even though we'd probably be reluctant to be mechayim on the basis of the Ritzbah alone. Okay. The other question that is relevant here in terms of categorizing the hezek caused by wiping data or by infecting someone's computer with the virus is whether that's considered hezek she'ein or nicker. So that's the Gemara that we know in Gittin, the Mishnah in Beis and Beis, the Gemara in Gittin and Aleph, the Mishnah in Beis and Beis tells us about the din of mitame midameya minasech, that if a person affects the following types of damages, he causes someone else's wine to become Yai Nesach. Machlok is Rav Shmuel, exactly what Kesa is talking about. A person causes produce to become Meduma. So those are examples of Hezek She'eino Nicker. The Mishnah says, B'mezid Eschai B'shalgi Gizpater. And that's the Machlok as here, the Gemara in Daphne Gilam and Aleph, Amr Chizkia. Do we assume that Mina Torah, there's no distinction between Shogeg and Mezid in what direction? Meaning, do we say Mina Torah Hezek Shein or Nicker is always Hezek and Mida Rabbanan we patter you be Shogeg, or do we say it's never Hezek and Mida Rabbanan we mechayev you be Mezid? So that's the Machlokas. The svar to be mechayiv would be shalai hekel echad holik mitamei tarosa shachaver, that a person shouldn't go and affect this hezek without consequence, even if technically speaking hezek shein nikra would be lashmei hezek. So we assume, so lemaisa hezek shein nikra is going to be chayiv. And maybe the question is, what is your starting point and what is the frame of reference? What is hezek shein nikra? So Rashi writes over here. Dibur Hamaskil Hezek Sheinu Nikar Kigon Hani Demasnisin Shalom Nishtanu Mikamos Shehayu. So Hezek Sheinu Nikar are like the cases in the Mishnah Mitameh Midameh Menaseh, where there's no change affected to the object itself. If you have wine that's Yayin Esach and wine that's regular nice kosher wine, if you look at it you can't tell the difference. If you have produce that is Meduma, that has devil mixed in, yeah, produce that is properly your mafresh, so it all looks the same. There's no recognizable difference between the two objects. In that tshuva, Rabbi Ben Yaakov quotes Rabbi Chanan, Kovetz Shiurim Bavakama Simen Kuf Kafkas. We'll take a look here a couple pages later in the handout. So Rabbi Chanan has the following Hagdara to Hezek Sheinu Nikar. Umahu Einu Nikar, Diyesh Lefarsha B'Shnei Ofanim. Two flavors of Hezek Sheinu Nikar. Aleph, Shehei Nikar Ala Chayfetz Sheyesh Bohefza. You have to be able to tell by looking at the object that there is some loss affected in the object. And number two, Hezek Ba'atzmo Yehei Davar Mukhshi, that it has to be something which is tangible. It has to be a tangible Hezek. La'fuka Yemeh Hezeku Beruchnius Shalach Chayfetz. As opposed to, if the hezek is in the ruchnius of the chayfetz, what does it mean? The ruchnius of the cup of wine, lafuk kigon isir opsol. It means in the halachic status, hezek in the halachic status. If you have something that's kosher, you make it treif. You have something that's mutter, and you make it usser. So that's what he means. Hezek in the ruchnius of the object, that it changes the halachic status, but doesn't change the actual composition of the object. So mitame midame menasech, you mitame something, it doesn't look any different than it did before you mitame it, but the halachic status has changed. So that's considered hezek she'eno nikar. So what would you say about digital hezek corrupting a file?
It's nikar,
right.
Of course.
So that's what Rabbi Ben Yaakov says. Obviously it's nikar. Nikar doesn't mean, when we talk about mukhshi, when we talk about if it's tangible, it doesn't mean that you can necessarily perceive it or touch it. It means that it's there in a recognizable fashion. So it could be you can only recognize it on a computer, you can only recognize it through whatever technological methods we have for evaluating data. But that's considered hezek nikar. It doesn't mean that you have to be able to touch it with your hands and to see that beforehand this was a nice beforehand there was a piece of glass and beforehand there was a glass cup and now it's broken into pieces. So that's not if there is a recognizable damage. Even if you can't see it with your eyes, or you can't feel it, that's still considered hezek nikar. So then digital damage would be considered hezek nikar. So Rav Asher writes in his tshuva here that obviously all this hezek has to be considered hezek nikar because that's how we operate nowadays. Pashish and Hezek Nikar La'ay and Hezek Nikar Hu V'yashar Kol Mitzias Shel Olam Ha'michshuv Mitzias Virtuality V'en Kandara Shenitel and Gobal and Mashasha. We live in a virtual reality, so everything is virtual. You can't touch anything. L'talkol and Makol and Makol. You can't move data. Mikol Makom Zom Mitzias Shabanu Chayim. That's how we live and operate. Apolim Kevin Shen Hezek Nir La'ayim V'Nikar Lakol Mishamish Nikar Lakol Mishamish Havi Hezek Nikar. So in our Musagim, this is considered hezek nikar because that's how we operate, and this is the normal form of damage. Okay, so assuming, as seems to be pretty compelling, that hezek affected through either wiping data or through infecting someone's data with the virus is a hazard that we recognize in b'mechayev sama forza. How would you evaluate the tashlumin that are required for such a hazard? So one of the issues raised by Rabbi Ben Yaakov and Rabbi Union in their articles is the famous Nesivus. And Nesivus in Simen Kuf Mem Ches Beyurim Os Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem Ches Beyurim Os Aleph, writes that when you come to calculate subject, when you come to calculate Tashlumei Nezek, you don't calculate subjective value. Meaning, the general way that you evaluate Nezek is what is the worth of this object when you sell it on the open market. But let's say you have something that's only worth something to the owner. It wouldn't be sellable on the open market. So then how do you evaluate the Tashlumin for that kind of a Nezek? So you have data which doesn't have objective value. It's valuable to the owner of the data, but no one else would do anything with that data. Or as Ben Yaakov talks about, let's say you have prescription glasses. So you can't really sell prescription glasses on the open market because no one's going to buy your prescription. Maybe you could find someone who would have the same prescription. But typically speaking, no one, and there's a second-hand market now on the internet on prescription glasses, he seems to assume that. So it's not something that you would typically sell on the market. So it has no market value. It's very valuable to you. You pay $300 for it, but it's not really sellable on the market. Or some talk about it in the context of something with sentimental value. If you have a family heirloom, if you sell it in the open market, it's worth $3. But to you, because it was your great-great-great-grandfather's spoon, so then it's priceless. So how do you evaluate that in ethics? According to the extension of this Nesivus, there's nothing I can't really collect, because on the open market, it's valueless. The fact that it has certain sentimental value to you isn't a halachically collectible matter. Many there are achronim that argue on the Nesivus. It's not necessarily muskam. The Stifel has a brief piece about this in Vavakama Simin Lamites, in which he actually has a aura on this Nesivus based on that sug of Hezek Shein Nik that we just saw. The Gemara there has and Daphnim Gimlam and Aleph and Gittin. Daphnim Gimlam and Aleph and Gittin. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah a little bit later in the Masechta here, a couple of blot later. About 10 lines from the bottom. Tanan, Hakonim Shepiblu B'mikdash Mizidim Chayavin. So if Kohanim are Mefagil B'mezid, meaning they affect Pigel on a korban that they're supposed to be bringing, then they're Chayav. So take a look at Rashi there. Kohanim Shepiblu, Korbanos Sheshachtim Mizarkim Lachom Yem Chutzuzmanim Lohitzul Balim, Mizidim Chayavin, Lashalim Demein Labailim, Sharei. So they have to pay restitution to the Bailim because the Bailim are going to have to bring another korban. So that's true by a neder. Inami nedavahi, but what about a nedava? Nedava, if the animal's lost, you don't have to bring another korban in instead. Kashav einav shalahikrav korbano. So he is upset that he wasn't able to bring his korban. Shrei lahavi dorniyam avakish. He wanted to bring a korban to Kashbarach, but he wasn't able to do it. So that sounds like that's a sentimental matter. There's no objective chiyuv, but he wanted to bring a carbon, he wasn't able to. Go to Mark, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Just finish up in 2 minutes. So the cycle of things, that's a raya against the Nesivus, that something of sentimental value perhaps does have a collectible status. Bottom line, how would you evaluate this kind of a hezek? So Rabbi Ben Yaakov and the Mishpatech Yaakov is unsure. He raises the issue that you also have to figure out culpability. So if she here, the person, you infected someone's computer with a virus, he didn't back up his files, so he should have backed up his files. So if he didn't back up his files, maybe he's Bashaya. In my case, the Torah that I sat on, the guy did back up his files, but there's some quirk in the system where you have three devices that are all connected to each other, and the wiping of the data from one wiped up the two backups. So he presumably
why
did his.
Sorry? Did you mean to say that if I have insurance, what about if I have insurance for a car, the guy damaged, or my house, it burns down my house.
Right.
And I mean, the damage is different if I had insurance, didn't have insurance?
You didn't have insurance.
Right. What's that?
You mean if you didn't have insurance, right. I'm not culpable for not having had it.
Right, right.
Right, but if I must, so the norm if the norm is that
the norm is to have insurance, but you fail to have insurance, so the person's not chayef for the burning down the house.
He would be. So you're saying this should be the same thing. So the norm is that you back up your data, but you didn't back up your data.
So
you're still masik.
You're masik.
Okay, I hear. Rav Ashi talks about this also. He says that maybe the person who didn't back up his data, he's somewhat negligent, and the person, he was talking about a case where someone borrowed a computer and put in a flash drive, and there's a virus on the flash drive. So the person with the computer should have had antivirus software, and the person with a flash drive should have checked his flash drive for viruses. So maybe there's enough shit to go around. Bottom line, Rav Ben Yaakov thinks that it's difficult to properly be mishar this kind of a hezek in terms of dollars and cents, and it's really lefi Ros Einei HaDayanim to make a determination as to how you would evaluate just such a hezek. But it does seem that there is compelling evidence that this is a kind of hezek that would be collectible, depending on how the details in any particular case would work out.